Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us for Church Online. What a great day to be together. Today is the final day of exclusively online church for us, and we're excited about that. I'm sure by now you've heard the announcement. Hopefully you've taken the time to read through our reopening plan. Next Sunday, June 14th, we will be having physical church here, both in Sauk Center and in our Long Prairie locations. A couple things about that. Tomorrow, we will be making an official decision about how many services we are going to be doing at the Sauk Center campus. It has just been a difficult thing for us to gauge how many people will be coming to church, and so we've been waiting to make that decision. You can help us out greatly with that. If you know that you and your family are going to be attending the Sauk Center campus next week, we would love to have you just fill out this little survey. It's on our website under June 14th. And also, the online hosts hopefully put a link in that for that even in the chat section right now. Take 10 seconds and please just help us out. Put your name in, how many people will be coming. We want everybody to be able to come to church next week if they would like. And so all of that just helps make those decisions. Also, we do need you to RSVP for your family to specifically choose what service you will be attending and campus as well. I know that kind of sounds like the same thing, but for us, it's very different. The first one here is figuring out how many people are we going to have so we know how many services to do. The RSVP is how many people in each service. And I know we're asking a lot, but I'm telling you, if you will take 30 seconds and do that stuff, it will help us in a massive way. So survey is available now. RSVP for next week will actually be tomorrow. That's Monday in the afternoon is when that will be available. I also just want to be asking you, to be in prayer for our church during this season. This is an interesting time for families. It's an interesting time for church and for church leaders, and we definitely are feeling the weight of everything that's happening, of what it looks like for us to physically gather together in this season. And so I just want to ask you as a church family to just be praying for our church specifically during this season. So, all right, that's enough of all of that. Let's get to today. Today is one of those messages that has the potential to divide. And last week we talked about how important unity is in the church and how a divided church really cannot heal a broken world. But today, like, God has just led me to talk about what everybody's talking about, and that really is the idea of race, racial equality, racism, all of that. And so, like, we're going to talk about George Floyd. We're going to talk about Minneapolis. We're going to talk about what's happening in our nation right now. And I need you to understand something. Like, God is moving in my heart. God is moving deep inside of me. And today, like, I feel this conversation that we are having right now is massively important. It's interesting to me that 2 weeks ago, our world was consumed with COVID-19. It was everywhere you looked. It was on everybody's lips. It was social media, the news, everything. It was impacting everybody's lives. COVID-19 was everywhere all the time. Now, 2 weeks later, social media, the news, the conversations that we're having with each other are completely different. Completely different. And what I'm asking of you today is really to just go into this time with a heart that is open to God moving and speaking to you. There are times when politics, in a way, overlap with the Bible, and those areas make, obviously, for very difficult conversations. So understand, this is difficult for me. It's difficult to talk about things that people in the church simply don't agree on. But here's what we need. Like, let's just approach this with prayer. Let's approach this with the right heart and grace. In fact, let's prepare our hearts right now. Will you just join me as I pray to kind of start this difficult conversation? Let's pray. Father God, we desperately need you today. We need you in our nation. We need you in this state. We need you desperately to move and to work and to do something. But God, even right now, as we as a church family and those who are joining us are looking at this difficult issue, having a difficult conversation, looking to you for answers. God, we desperately need you to come. We need you to intervene. We need you to soften our hearts and to move in us, God, in so many ways. And so, God, I just pray for that. God, please don't let this be my opinions. Please, that is not what we want. That is not what we need. We want to hear from your heart today. And so we just pray for that. And it's in your name we pray. Amen, amen. All right, turn to somebody next to you on the couch and say, I'm going to need you to listen up today. There we go. Well, I don't need to tell you this, but our nation, like, it's just in a crazy place right now. Riots, destruction, looting, fire, protests, cops humbly kneeling down in front of crowds of people, National Guard called in, curfews, like, this is a national situation. It's national news coverage. Things are happening in pretty much every large city in America right now. And of course, all of this really ignited with something that happened like 90 minutes down the road from us in Minneapolis. A video was posted in Minneapolis of a Minneapolis police officer kneeling on the neck of a black man named George Floyd, who eventually died. The result was absolute outrage. Not only in the black community, but in people all over our state. And it didn't take long until this spread to the entire nation and took a stage there on the national level. Protesting started, then riots began to happen. Buildings were set on fire, like people stealing things from broken into stores. Social media blows up. People outraged with how the police officer treated George Floyd. People outraged by the rioting. People outraged by the destruction of property, people screaming out that Black Lives Matter, all the while other people saying, no, all lives matter. What we have is a mess in our state, a mess in our country. I know it, you know it. That is not the question. The question is not, do we have an issue? The question really is, out here in rural Minnesota, do we respond? And if so, how do we respond? And I'm not looking for anyone's opinion here on this. That's not what we need. What we need is to hear from God, to know the heart of God, to respond in a way that God would have us respond, both as a church and as individuals. So let's start this conversation with a bit of history. None of this is new to you, but here's what cannot be debated, all right? That there is a horrendous stain in American history, and that is the stain of slavery. America was founded by white Europeans who separated themselves from Europe, creating this incredible free nation. They set up the Constitution. We have the beginning of the United States of America. It's an incredible story, an incredible beginning to a nation that so many of us love so much. But alongside of all of the incredible things that these white Europeans accomplished, these same people also used their Christianity and the words of the Bible to convince themselves and their government that people from Africa were a subspecies of humanity, which led to thousands and thousands of dark-skinned Africans being shipped here. You know the history. I'm sure you've seen the movies. It's horrific. It's barbaric. It'll make you sick to your stomach. It's this horrible stain on our nation's history. Come the mid to late 1800s, Abraham Lincoln, the Civil War, slavery finally abolished, but that left thousands and thousands of of black people with absolutely nothing. And understand, though slavery was abolished, segregation was still very, very much a reality in every part of life. In fact, 100 years later, now we're in the 1950s and 60s, the civil rights movement, they're still trying to secure black people's right to vote. Some of you were alive for that. Some of you remember those days. Others of us, it was our parents or our grandparents. But we act as though 1960 was a million years ago when in fact it wasn't. In many of your lifetimes, black people were still segregated in our society, segregated in America. Historically, in America, the African American people have always been at a disadvantage. Historically. And to debate that would be incredibly inaccurate and distasteful. But that was all history. There's no question in history. That's not controversial. The question really is right now, isn't it? And where we have a substantial, massive portion of our population that would say black people in America are still at a disadvantage. And at the same point, we have a substantial, massive portion of the population saying, no, it's just simply not true. This has all been blown out of proportion. And all of that really leads us today to what God has been showing me, what God has been speaking to me, what God has been putting on my heart really during this season. Understand, this past week or so, I have really taken it on myself to prayerfully examine this issue of race and racism in America. Like with an open heart, I've talked to African American friends. I've listened to other black pastors, people that I have great respect for. I've listened to them tell their stories. I've talked with people in rural places like Sauk Center who grew up here, but they are black. I've talked to people in urban settings like Minneapolis. And I have never been more convinced right now in the fact that America has a problem. That America has never truly recovered from the hundreds and hundreds of years of slavery and segregation. And that right here, right now in America, I'm convinced that I have an advantage in all sorts of areas in my life simply because of the color of my skin. And biblically and as a Christian, it's just not acceptable. As Christians, the biblical issue here isn't racism. The biblical issue here isn't racial inequality or any of that. As Christians, the issue here is what's called justice. The idea that something isn't right, that something isn't just. And this word, justice, injustice, all like it shows up over and over and over again in the scripture. Like let me kind of give you a shotgun approach at this morning. I'm going to give you 8 passages of scripture in about 2 minutes. Write these scripture references down if you're taking notes. Let's start with Isaiah chapter 61. It says this. It says, I, the Lord, love justice. And I hate robbery and wrongdoing. The Bible says God loves justice and hates wrongdoing. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 15. When justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. Justice brings joy to the righteous. Righteous people love justice, but evildoers not so much. Psalms chapter 106, verse 3. Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. People who act justly are blessed by God. Acting justly, blessed by God. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. Check this out. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. The Lord is a God of justice. Amos chapter 5, verse 24. Let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Let justice roll on like a river. Come on, we need that in our nation. Micah chapter 6. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. As Christians, acting out justice is required of us, it says. Proverbs chapter 21. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Like us living out justice is more important than sacrifices to our God, more important than giving our money, more important than giving our time. Like as Christians, justice matters. And the last one, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Learn to seek justice. As Christians, part of how we live and part of how we should be living our lives is to seek out justice in the world that we live in. But what does that look like? The verse says, we defend the oppressed. We defend the oppressed. The point in all of this, God hates injustice, and so should we. God hates it, and so should we. In fact, we serve a God of justice who requires his people to act in a way that produces justice specifically towards and specifically in those who are oppressed. So here's where this has just left me this week. Like, I believe that racial inequality is real. I believe that it's wrong. It's not okay. And as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, I believe that how I respond to that matters, and it matters greatly. So the question then for me becomes, what do I do? How do I respond? What does this look like? Now, a couple things that God has just been speaking to me about. This is as a white person trying to take godly steps in the right direction. That's what this is for me. All right, so number one, there's gonna be four things. Write this down if you're taking notes. Number one, I must purposely move my heart from a place of defensiveness to a place of compassion. Let me explain. As a white person, my defense is immediately to say, I'm not racist. It comes out of me. In fact, the very idea of being labeled a racist person is offensive to me, because immediately my mind goes to the things like the KKK and white supremacy and people who, like, the idea that I believe that white people are in some way superior to black people. And I don't believe that. So don't call me a racist. But immediately what happens, here's what I've learned, is that my immediate response in this way, it puts up this front. It puts up this wall. My heart begins to harden, and I'm no longer able to respond in a healthy way. Listen, like, as soon as we get defensive, we lose the ability for compassion. And compassion is central to the life and the teaching of Jesus. Or I find myself doing what I call deflecting. I think things like this. It's an outrage of what happened to George Floyd and the way that he was treated. That's not right. But I can't believe the rioting. And I deflect it by adding this word, but. That there's definitely an issue here, but that doesn't give the people the right to destroy and loot Target. Or I read things like Black Lives Matter. And like many of you, my mind immediately goes to, no, all lives matter. And in no way am I condoning violence. And in no way am I saying rioting and looting is okay. And I'm not saying that all lives don't matter in any of this. Like, come on, of course they do. That's ridiculous. But I've found that for me, these things can easily deflect and distract me from what God wants to do in and through me. And my focus and the posture of my heart is no longer in a place of openness, as I have now made the issue the words that someone is using instead of the injustice that is happening. Wow, that's been so hard for me. The temptation for us, like in rural white America, is to just respond defensively to this. And I'm telling you, it does nothing but add to the division in the church and the division in our country. How should we respond? We sincerely respond like this. I am here. I'm listening. And I want to be part of the change. I don't really know what to do. I don't know how to change things, but I'm here, I'm listening, and I want to be part of the change. I must purposefully move my heart away from a place of defensiveness and move it towards a place of compassion. All right? All right. Number two, write this down. Number two, as a white person, I must be willing to admit that as a white person, I don't understand racial inequality in the same way as someone who is not white. Come on. I know that was long. Write that down. And I was thinking of a way of how to illustrate this, and here's what came to my mind. I have never been in the military. Never. I have friends who have. I have friends who have been overseas. I have friends who have been involved in wars. Many of you watching, that's your, okay? You seen things that I have never seen. But here's what I don't do. I don't go to my military friends and say, you say you have PTSD? You know what you need to do is just get over it. You know what you need to do is stop thinking about it. I'm sure it wasn't as bad as you thought it was. I don't do that. You know why? Because I wasn't there. I didn't have that experience. I don't have the slightest idea of what it feels like and what it looks like to be in Iraq or Vietnam in the middle of a war. I wasn't there, and so I must be very careful about giving my opinion on those things. Does that make sense? I'm sick of seeing white people act like they understand what it's like to be black. Like, have I had someone tell me to wash my skin because I look dirty? Have I had someone follow me around at a store to make sure that I don't steal something? Have I had the police called because I was going for a walk in my neighborhood at night? All things I have heard from my African-American friends that live here in Sauk Center. I've found that pretty much in every area of my life, humility is the right response. We've talked about this, the Bible, like God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. A proud person puts up a wall. A proud person gets defensive. A humble person responds with, I don't have all the answers. I haven't been there. I admit that I don't understand, but man, I hear you. And I'm telling you, if you are white, you do not understand racial inequality in the same way as someone who is not white. And humbly realizing that, remembering that, admitting that is massively beneficial to this conversation. In fact, it kind of sets up number three for me. I must figure out how to have relationships with people who don't look like me. See, part of the problem for us here in rural white America is that most of us, all of our friends look like us. All of our friends talk like us. All of our friends vote like us, even eat like us. Like, and I would bet that most of us watching this even right now have never actually sat down with an African-American friend and had a real conversation with them about what it looks like to live life in their shoes. I feel so strongly about this. Like, if I haven't taken the time to talk through the issue of racism with the person I trust whose skin is a different color than mine, that I must be very careful about sharing my opinion about the issue of racism. This is so difficult. Like, why? Because we live in rural white America. Our community is 93% white here in Sauk Center, and our church is like 99% white. If I really desire to be a godly person, if I desire to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, then I need to be in relationship with people who are different than me. Man, write that down. And all this leads to number four. I must understand that Jesus is the answer. That Jesus is the answer. Like, we can work. We can We can do our part. We can humble ourselves and listen. But what we really need, what we really need is Jesus. We need Jesus to come into the situation. We need Jesus to work on our hearts, like on both sides of this. And it really just kind of has led me to the question, am I open to Jesus working in my life? Am I open to him moving in me in this situation? Am I open and saying, Jesus, I don't know about all of this. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say, but I am open to you moving in and through me. I truly want what you want. I want to see people the way that you see them. I want to work for justice. Jesus, change my heart. And as we get ready to close our time together, I want to do a couple things here quickly. First, like with everything that is going on right now, I personally want to just take a moment and talk to my African American friends who are watching this even right now. And I want to apologize. I want to apologize for staying silent. I want to apologize for my defensiveness. I want to apologize for my lack of understanding. In any of this, I want to apologize for pretending that I understand. Know that you are loved. Know that I'm listening. Know that I care about you and I want to be part of the change. I'm praying right now even that our church would be more diverse. You are welcome here. You're welcome at River of Life Church. Second, for our church family, like, I hope you hear my heart today. I'm not condoning rioting. I'm not condoning destruction of property. I'm not anti-police, like, quite the opposite. We have police officers in our church family. I could not have more respect for law enforcement and what they do. And for me, this is not a political soapbox. This is not like Republican, Democrat, any of that. For me, this is about the Bible. And for me, this is about injustice. And for me, this is about where God is leading me right now. I want to live my life like completely and in every way in tune with God. And this is part of that for me. But for some of us who are listening, like, there's no question that this sermon has brought out some defensiveness in you. And I want to ask you to just take a deep breath and just sincerely ask yourself, like, am I responding in compassion? Listen, I believe you can be anti-riots and still respond with compassion to our black brothers and sisters. You can be pro-police officers and still respond with compassion to our black brothers and sisters. You don't have to choose. I'm here, I'm listening, and I want to be part of the change. Before we go, can we just set aside a moment or two just for a time of prayer and reflection? Maybe you're listening to this right now and you know that your heart has not been right. You know your heart has not been in the right place through all of this. And right now you're with me and you're just saying, I want to respond in a Christ-centered way to what is happening. If that's you, will you just pray with me? Father, we open our hearts to you, not the media, not social media, not what all of our friends who look and talk just like us and vote just like us are saying. God, we open our hearts to you, and we ask that you would move. We ask that you would speak. We ask that you would do what you can do, that you would bring healing, that you would bring a heart of compassion, that God, that you would tear down the walls of defensiveness that are keeping us from moving in the direction that you would have us go. God, help us to be part of the change, fixing the injustice, not just even in this area, but in every area of injustice that we come across. God, let that be a part of who we are, standing up for the things that are not right in the name of Jesus. Help us, God. God, I pray right now for those who are watching this, our Black brothers and sisters. God, I pray that they would feel your love, that they would feel, God, loved by us and our church. God, we don't want to be divisive. We don't want to add to the problem. God, we want what you want. God, we want your heart, and we want to see people through your eyes. Help us, change us, move in us, oh God, we pray. And it's in your name. Amen. Amen. Before we're done, we always want to give people an opportunity to respond to the message of Jesus, even for the first time. Maybe you're here, maybe you're watching this, and you know you're not right with God. See, the scripture says we are all sinners. We are all separated from God. It's why he sent Jesus to die for you so that you could be free, so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be saved. The Bible says if you will put your trust in him, if you put your faith in Jesus and what he did, then you can be saved from your sin, that you can be saved. That's the words of the scripture. And maybe here and now, you know that's not where you're at. You know you have never done that. You know you've never made that decision. This isn't about being baptized or confirmed. Like this, it's this heart thing between you and God, and you know that that's not, you have not done this, and you know you need to do this today. If that's you, what I want you to do is I want you to respond. You respond simply by clicking a button, okay? There's all sorts of things and links. However you're watching this, you should have the ability to just hit respond, whether that says raise your hand on our church online platform or respond on Facebook, and you can quickly do that. We want you to do that. We feel like that matters. And so just take that stand. But here's then what I want us to do. Everyone who's watching this, will you just help everyone out right now? And we're just going to pray together. And so everyone just pray this with me. Pray, Father God, I give you my life. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Forgive me of my sins and change my life. In your name I pray. Amen, amen. If that's the first time you ever did that, the Bible says that heaven is celebrating right now, and we celebrate with you for the most important decision you will ever make in your life. Before we're done today, we want to sing a song together. We want you to join us. We're going to have this played. Sing, pray, worship, sit there, reflect, whatever that looks like for you, but just join us for another few moments during this song.